It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This first headline. A Florida man almost died. He got a lap dance from his housekeeper. Was his name Arnold? Last name rhymes with Mortzenegger. Florida man almost died while getting a lap dance from his housekeeper. The incident happened in Tampa, and the maid, oh, it's one of those maids. It's a skanky maid that will skankily clean your house at $300 an hour. I bet she doesn't do a good job either. She said that she was cleaning this dude's house, and then he just about kicked the bucket. She had to call the ambulance. Can you imagine telling first responders, well, what happened was my maid, who is a topless maid, ended up. Yeah, can you just imagine? He apparently lived, but still, that's, maybe he learned his lesson and got like a decent, like an actual cleaning crew. I don't know. This is such a Florida, this is such a woman driver story. It almost seems mean to put Florida in front of it. Florida woman was rescued after a crash left a Porsche dangling from a Florida parking garage. So help me.
Oh, man.
Dude. She was rescued. This was in Coral Gables. It's a Porsche SUV. It was dangling from the third floor of a parking garage.
What was she doing?
Driving. She's a woman. That's what she was doing. She said that she accidentally hit the accelerator. So it looks like she was parked, and because it's in a parking spot, it looks like she was parked, and then she crashed through the walls. You can see in the image that Juan's showing, and then people said that they heard like the screeching tires, and then like the impact, the sound of impact, and she was going to try to back up, and she accidentally hit the accelerator or did something and like drove right through. Oh my gosh. A Porsche SUV driven up right there. She's lucky she's alive. People who help bring you free radio, Hillsdale College, they get it. They get it over at Hillsdale. It is a Christian, classically liberal, not liberal like progressive. Like, you know, think of classical liberalism like Tocqueville, like intelligent. Classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they believe that education, which is true, this is what the founders wrote, education is required to promote and defend liberty. This is the hallmark of their college since it was founded in 1844. They offer the kind of education you need to preserve civil and religious liberties, and they still hold true to that mission. One of the ways that they do that is by extending their reach beyond their campus in southern Michigan. So you don't have to be there to take advantage of all the resources they have, which are, by the way, for free for you, like the Free Speech Digest in Primus. Or you can also take advantage of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, where you can pick one of your favorite educational podcasts. It's all deep dive into history, the founders, the creation of the Republic. Who did the founders read when they wanted insight and direction on how to create this amazing country? They dive into all of that with their staff, their faculty, their visiting authors and lecturers, even their college president. You can choose your favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this first hour. Did everyone follow, or maybe you didn't follow, the story of Marcellus Williams? And we got to touch on this because there's a lot of misinformation going around. We're going to get into all the polling and everything that we usually do at this time here coming up. But this story is wild, particularly when the absolute misinformation, which I think is fascinating when the left talks about misinformation, they never indict themselves on this, has been at, I mean, just a record high with this story. So yesterday, the state of Missouri carried out an execution, lethal injection, on this violent convicted felon, Marcellus Williams. And it was ordered by, he had appeal after appeal after appeal. The Supreme Court, state Supreme Court said, nope, it's not, you got to go through with it. It's part of his punishment for his very violent crime. This guy was a career violent criminal. He was already serving He was already convicted on a separate charge and got 50 years for robbery and something else. And then he had killed Felicia Gale back in August of 1998. He robbed her house. He ambushed her, waited till she was in the shower. He ambushed her, stabbed her 43 times, left the knife in her neck, and he stole a bunch of stuff from her house. And then here's where it gets interesting. The laptop and her purse were found in his car by his girlfriend. And there were also other things that were found. And there were things that the girlfriend, and they had like something like 20 some odd witnesses for the state that came forward, that told the, that said things in court that were never made public. That only people who knew the crime scene, who, because Marcellus Williams apparently told them everything, only things that the person who would have done it knew, he told them, and that was never made public until like way later. And it gets me because you had the NAACP come out and they tweeted out yesterday, quote, "Tonight, Missouri lynched another innocent black man. Governor Parson had the responsibility to save this innocent life and he didn't." And they go, "When DNA evidence proves innocent, capital punishment is not justice, it's murder." And they had a graphic that said a man was lynched today. That's just so offensive and insulting. Interesting, I didn't find anything recently, and I didn't find anything at all in NAACP's account about the murder of Officer David Lee in St. Louis from an illegal immigrant who ran him over as he had stopped to help at a crash site. So NAACP only cares about some black lives, not all black lives, just some if it suits their purposes. That being said, quit making martyrs out of monsters. And I do think, and there was a lot of discussion and debate over DNA evidence, but there was a lot of concrete, irrefutable evidence in this case. That is why all of his appeals lost. That is why, and there are cases when appeals are granted and decisions are stayed or reversed because of the new evidence. That didn't happen here because this guy was guilty AF. He was guilty. He stabbed this woman 43 times and left a knife in her neck. He ambushed her. He bragged about it to everybody who would listen. All her stuff was found in his car and his property. He tried to pawn her laptop. And everyone's like, well, the DNA is disputed. There wasn't this found at the scene. You can't tie this with him. I think a lot of times people will try to hide behind these exclusionary, you know, technological whatever and ignore all of the other hardcore evidence as a way to justify making martyrs out of monsters. I tweeted about this yesterday. I mean, this guy's a career criminal. Absolute career criminal. And here's the other thing that the press that was and Ibram Kendi tweeted about it, all this stuff. The girlfriend, they were trying to accuse the girlfriend, oh, well, she's got a record, and she lied about it so she could get reward money. That's a lie. That is absolutely, irrefutably false. She never asked about award money. She never made a single mention of it. That was the press and his defense team and the people who were trying to lie about his heinous crime to free him. That's what those people made up. I noticed that no one ever cares about innocent lives. No one ever talked about Felicia Gale's innocent life. She was the one who was lynched. She was lynched by Marcellus Williams. The same way David Lee, Officer David Lee, was lynched by an illegal immigrant who was drunk out of his mind, who plowed into him when he was trying to help at a crash site. If you want to have a discussion of lynching, good grief. The left is all up in arms about this. They're so upset. I mean, this guy was convicted on undisputed facts. He pawned her laptop off. And the guy was trying to lie and say that he was trying to blame other people around him for why this woman's personal items were found all on her, all in his property. He murdered her. She's an innocent victim and he murdered her. They were talking about the DNA. They said, well, the DNA technology, you know, the touch DNA and all of this, it didn't exist at the time that he was convicted and all. Nothing, none of this, though, none of the DNA, nothing ever exonerated him. Literally nothing. He confessed to it. He bragged about it. He confessed to it multiple times. He bragged about it multiple times. And then the people that he bragged about it to, he threatened to kill them if they ever shared the information. And again, the people, the informants, because they said, oh, well, one of the other witnesses, it was a jailhouse informant, someone in jail that he bragged to. Well, that's nice that you want to, that's what gets me is these same people will say that Marcellus Williams, 15 felonies and his other conviction that gave him 50 years for robbery in a completely separate case shouldn't be used as a measure of his character. But they're super quick to try to disqualify these jailhouse informants for the exact same thing. But what's more, these informants were sharing information with investigators, with law enforcement, that were never made public. It was none of this information was ever shared with the public, ever. The only way anyone would know it is if the actual murderer told them. That's it. I mean, he sold her husband's, it was her husband's laptop, but it was hers. He sold her laptop. The person that he sold it to identified Williams as the seller. By the way, he tried to attack a guard and escape and all this other stuff, and he threatened correctional officers and all the stuff in jail. Notice that the NAACP and all of the people who are trying to tell you that he's this gentle giant, they've never made mention of any of that. You guys didn't even know about that, probably, did you? Talking about this case. Mm-mm. Bet you didn't. Oh, but man, these bleeding heart dumbasses are all over social media. Someone said he's a deeply spiritual person and a poet, and he's also a murderer. He stabbed a woman 43 times. The evidence is irrefutable. That is why all of the appeals failed. That is why he was convicted. That is why his execution was upheld. But everyone wants to make it like, oh, well, it's racism. The real racism is the situational ignoring of crimes against minorities because it doesn't fit your Marxist agenda. The same people who are trying to say that Marcellus Williams is an innocent poet are the same people that tried to tell you that Mike Brown was like a 12-year-old little kid. It doesn't work that way. Stop making martyrs out of monsters. This guy is guilty. And people who paid attention and who read about this case know it. All of the people saying otherwise, none of these people have ever bothered to read anything about this case other than the aggregated news spoon-fed to them by media on television or social media. They're lazy. Because people who paid attention to the facts, even if you don't like the outcome or even if you don't like the death penalty, the only logical and truthful conclusion is, well, he did it. He's guilty. And that's it. Just amazing to me. Now, I've read about this case because, like I said, where this woman was murdered. It was in 1998. I'm from St. Louis. I'm very familiar with this case. I had a friend who lived not far from, had moved in with her older sister who lived not far from where Felicia Gale was stabbed. And I remember being in, because we had already started like going, doing stuff because we did a college newspaper and all that stuff. And we were already going into the offices for summer. And she was like, oh my gosh, there was like tape everywhere and all this stuff. She'd never seen a crime scene before because she lived near it. And, you know, you hear something like that and you will follow it, right? Like, you know, you hear, you know, I mean, it's just natural. It's human nature. This guy was guilty as the day is long. People were saying, well, the family, you know, the victim's family wanted to have him spared. That has nothing to do with the fact that he did it. He did it. Regardless of whether or not they want him spared, this guy, the evidence was irrefutable. So, I don't know. There's a lot of bad information out there. Now, like I said, there are instances where you have innocent people. This is not one of them. It isn't. He is absolutely not one of them. And I do think it's fascinating that this guy, he attacked other inmates. He fought with correctional officers. He threatened him. He tried to escape. No. Don't you think that's kind of important when talking about this guy's character upon conviction? Because I do. I do, for sure. Now, Law and Order This is all this. That's a symptom of the restorative justice that is promoted and pushed by these restorative justice people. And by the way, good on Mike Parson for holding the line. Eric Greitens, that sniveling Democrat who only became a Republican and then tried to run Trump's coattails and then actually was a burden to the Trump campaign and all Republicans because he couldn't keep it in his pants and he couldn't keep his story straight, that psychopath. He actually gave this guy respite. He paused the execution at one point. Greitens did. He caved to all that restorative justice, just like the time when he made the Capitol a gun-free zone and then tried to lie about it because he's kind of anti-gun and he thought he could make a commercial about it later and like make up for it. But no, we remember. Yeah, he actually helped and was agreeing with the defense and allowed this guy. He paused the execution. Greitens did. Yeah, because he fell victim to that restorative justice narrative. Mike Parson did. And he's like, look, the facts are the facts. Here's the evidence. It's indisputable. That's the difference between a weak fake Republican and a real Republican, by the way. Unbelievable. No, there is one less monster out on the streets. I absolutely support capital punishment. I think violent murderers should be put to death. And it is not the same. You can be pro-life, by the way, and be for capital punishment. The only way that you can't be pro-life and be for capital punishment is if you're a moron who thinks that a violent murderer is the same as an innocent baby. I mean, if you believe that an innocent baby is capable of making the willful choices of an adult violent murderer, well, then I guess you have an argument. But I don't see it that way. Partners that help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Kel-Tec. It's the P15. The P15 should be your choice for concealed carry. It is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market. And it's made by the people who invented the micro compact pistol category. That is Kel-Tec. There's the metal version and the polymer version. And both come with two magazines, standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension. You also have flush fit double stack magazine that holds 12 rounds, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, lifetime warranty, compact, easily concealable. And it's from Kel-Tec. Quality, performance, innovation, Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Personal information of more than 3,000 congressional staffers was leaked across the dark web in a wide-ranging cyber attack, according to reports. An internet security firm founded over 1,800 passwords used by staffers available in the dark web. It was according to the Washington Times and Newsweek. They said that the firm, which is based in Switzerland, they estimated that 1 in 5 staffers had personal info available on the dark web. And it came from social media, dating apps, and adult websites. You skanky people. Look at you. They said that a single staffer had 31 passwords exposed online. How do you remember? That's crazy. That's so crazy. Drinking 3 cups of coffee linked to preventing multiple diseases. Yes, especially if it's Black Rifle Coffee. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Dana. A new study says that your morning brew might be doing more than perking you up. It could help you with heart conditions. The Endocrine Society researchers found that drinking a moderate amount is associated with a lower risk of developing cardiometabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. I need more. They said consuming 3 cups or 200 to 300 milligrams of caffeine per day could help reduce the risk of cardiometabolic multimorbidity. I have to say that slow. Or in individuals with any kind of cardiometabolic disease. Interesting. So what is cardiometabolic multimorbidity? Well, in addition to sounding like a really cool electronica band name, it's a scientific term for having 2 or more cardiometabolic diseases at the same time. So see, that's what that means. Bird flu. They keep saying bird flu is evolving because they want to shut everyone down and make you miserable. That's the truth of it. I actually don't care about bird flu. I really don't care. Don't care. Unless I had a parrot and it got sick, I don't care. Or a macaw and it got sick, I don't. Literally don't care because it's not going to hurt me. I'm not affected. Don't get fear-mongered. Argentina scrapped its rent controls and now the market's thriving. Look at that. I know, Javier Milei. The fiscal shock therapy, it's yielded lower rents overall. And they said that the market is just now and it's just exploding. I'm just saying Argentina sounded pretty cool. you know, things go sideways. Although they could go the other way real quick, I feel. California passed a law to ban or restrict smartphones in schools. Why? Just, this is what I don't like. The government doesn't need to be doing this. This is just parents and schools. Parents be active. So the government's like, you're not doing your job. I see the need to fill it with some law. I see the need to exploit your uninvolvement with some laws. Stop it. They're banning smartphones in schools. And they have, it's in, they have 5.9 million public school students. And it's Los Angeles County, which started it. Now they're doing the whole thing. The Surgeon General called for a warning label on platforms. It's not a conspiracy theory, really. They want to put labels on them like they do with cigarettes. I think it's all about making sure that I'm a little sus. I don't think it's all about mental health with controlling kids on social media. I think it's about preventing the next generation from being able to access free and fair discussion on social media platforms. Just saying, I really do feel like that. So just watch what your kids are doing. Make sure stranger danger. Make sure they're not talking to no kid touchers. Make sure they're not, you know, spending an unhealthy amount of time on social media. But this idea of restricting it with kids, I honestly feel like there is a push to try to prevent the next generation from being as online and engaged in debate and being able to look out alternative sources for news. I think it's about information control. I really do. But they're trying to disguise it as like mental health and they're looking out for your kids. We should come back to that. We got more in store. Stick with us. In Mountain View, Missouri, a student at Liberty Middle School was suspended because he took a picture. He used Dr. Pepper cans and he made a gun with his Dr. Pepper cans. Like, not a functional gun. He literally just lined up the cans on the bed and they kind of look like a lowercase K in the shape of a gun. The student's name, Riley Grundon. He's 13 years old. And when he went to school, he was told that he needed to turn himself in to the district central office over concerns of an online post. And when the mom went there, she was shocked. He was given a 3-day suspension. And that someone had felt uncomfortable because of what he had put on social media. And you can see Juan's showing you the image on the simulcast. Literally, it's 5 cans stacked in one row. One can and another can, like for the stock and the grip. And then you've got one can that's, I guess, supposed to be the optics on top. That's literally it. So he was suspended from school for 3 days for that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And he's 13. The school said it was threatening. What? How? He's 13 years old. Good grief. And the mom is completely right. She's like, he didn't do anything wrong. And she was upset. Absolutely. She goes, there's staff who post pictures of real firearms when they go hunting with their kids. And they even post pictures of their kids with firearms that they hunt with. He had to undergo a search before he was being allowed back on the premises. And it's going to be on his permanent school record. He's going to have 2 counts, one of cyberbullying and the other of making a school threat. And he wasn't cyberbullying. He just made it with the cans and he posted it online because he thought it was funny looking. That's it. And the superintendent, Lana Tharp, who is a moron, said this, quote, "We have enough information to believe the video had caused fear to at least one student, and understandably so." What? Okay, if my kid came to me and said, "Mom, there's a picture. Somebody posted a photo of a rifle made out of cans. Here's the picture of it." I'd tell my kid to grow some balls and stop being super sensitive. Are you kidding me? My kid would never come up to me with anything like that. Whoever, and it probably wasn't the kid. It was probably the dumb parents. Clearly. It was completely a Karen. Good on this mom for sticking up for her kid, because there's nothing wrong that caused fear to one student. You know why? Because adults brainwash kids into thinking they got to be terrified of inanimate objects. And meanwhile, turn your blind eye to the real threats out there. We had, she got fired from the school, but one of my kids in school, he and his friend drew pictures, and they were in junior high, and it was, they were in a study hall. They got their work done. and they drew pictures of army guys, like guys, like U.S. military soldiers battling in a firefight with terrorists, ISIS terrorists, right? And they, what do soldiers in a firefight with ISIS terrorists carry? Guns. And the woman teacher saw that what they were drawing and sent them to the principal's office. And she really was hoping that they would get in a lot of trouble for that. And my husband and I, it's funny because we're always like, okay, you know, my husband's like, I'll be bad cop, you be good cop. And I'm like, okay. And then I roll in immediately and I'm bad cop. And Chris is like, we can't both be bad cop. So he has to be good cop, because I immediately roll in and I have no tolerance for this stuff. I'm really cool, but I am pushy as all hell, as you can imagine. And I had told I let the administration know in no uncertain terms that the teacher, because the teacher was a leftist who one time said that Jesus was a socialist. And that was really fun correcting her with tons of biblical citations on that one. And she ended up getting fired, and a lot of parents were complaining about her. This is Texas. Come on. And I made it very clear in no uncertain terms that there was nothing wrong with this, that this was the teacher who was harassing and bullying the students due to her very well-known public, very far left-leaning beliefs. And that if my child was suspended, I was going to take him on a field trip and I was going to buy him a gun that looked like one of the ones that he had drawn. And that I was also going to try to look at my legal options to go after the teacher for harassment. And I would be very public about all of it. And needless to say, nothing happened. And then she ended up later, enough parents complained about her and that she was fired. She ended up being fired because she was really far left and very, I don't mind it if you're lean to the left, but don't harass kids based on your idiotic partisan beliefs. And I feel like that's what was happening here with this kid. And for someone to go, oh, well, there was a, first off, you're teaching, that's not what threat assessment is. You are horribly, horribly damaging these kids by telling them to be afraid of everything that is not an actual threat. But then when it comes to real threats, you tell them that they have to turn a blind eye. When it comes to a young girl going into the bathroom and seeing a grown ass man in there, oh, well, you better just stuff all that down to where you can't feel it anymore because you're a bigot if you feel like your safety's in danger. Then they tell kids not to be afraid of actual threats. Be afraid of the silly stuff that isn't a threat. That is abusive and it's damaging to kids. And adults who do this are themselves predators.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.